Dear Lord, we are grateful to you again this morning for your mercy that have crossed our path. We thank you very much for, Lord, your program for our lives that you may manifest each day. Lord, that we can look in the scripture and say that the lines are falling unto us in pleasant places and that we have a goodly heritage. Thank you for your daily favor, blessings, protection, provisions, healings, Lord, deliverances, and all that we receive from you on a daily basis. We are grateful. Thank you for the week that ended yesterday. We appreciate all your blessings unto us. Another week has commenced, and Lord, you have started the same with us. As Lord, we gather in your house, and you have started your blessings upon us. Thank you for the Sunday school and the blessing. We are grateful to you. We thank you for testimonies of your children. Thank you for special numbers. Thank you for the worship service. We bless your holy name. We ask that you bless and replenish the strength of the song leader, use us of instruments, and we ask for your blessing for the entire congregation. Be with us, Lord, as we continue in this service. Lord, we desire the riches of your blessings. Lord, we know that wherever your children gathered, we are told by your prophet and the scriptures that the devil also tried to hang around. But Master Jesus, we just ask, Lord, that his effect will be powerless in the life of any of us. Let it be, O God, that all of us will enjoy your presence and will enjoy your blessings. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Lord, the souls that are yearning for the Holy Ghost baptism, may you remember them. Lord, let something happen that will give unto them an assurance, Lord, that they are passed from death to life. Grant it, Heavenly Father. All the places where your children are gathered in like manner, the group at Bagatari and every other place where they are gathered in this city and other nations and this throughout the nation and other nations of the world, may your presence be with your people. At the end of the service, may we have recourse to give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Lord bless you. You can please be seated. We thank the Lord for giving us another opportunity to be in his house. Let's listen to, all right. Let's bow our heads. There's a little prayer request here. Our Father, we thank you for the provision of a car for the family of our brother Tayo Mbamdele. We are grateful to you. We ask that your blessings will be upon the car. Lord, we pray, Master Jesus, that it will serve them long. Let your hand be upon it. Shield them away from accidents. Lord, protect the car from theft, fire accidents, or any of sorts, Father. Lord, when they ride it, may they enjoy it, Lord. Mechanics that try to serve people, may you keep them far away from them, Master. Thank you, Eternal Father. Lord, may they use the car, and Lord, until they will desire to change it for something better. Blessed be your wonderful name. Dedicated for their use, the use of your children, and for your own glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. That is better. I'm sure you understand what I mean. All right. Sorry. Let me ask you a question.
Great beings are you going in each feast of in hand. You are going. Oh yeah, I've been
Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, read from verse 5 to verse 15. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt there in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld on the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lord chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lord journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lord dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lord was separated from him, Lift up now thy eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. Majority of us, if not all, already knew the message we want to speak about. I just want to preach straight from a sermon on the prophet for short time, if possible. I would like to stop by 11:30. So that we'll have more time for a meeting. And the title of God's word calls for a total separation from unbelief. That enough is a sermon. So even if we happen to say, may the Lord add his blessing to his word, the message has already been passed across. God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. Amen. Now the prophet told us that in the beginning, as we read in Genesis 1, if you look at verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said that the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That was a condition that the earth was in the beginning. It was without form. It was void. Darkness covered the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the waters. Then God started to speak. As we find it in verse 3 of it, let there be light. And there was light. And the prophet said, if God said, let there be light, and there was no light, then that will not be God's word. It was when light came, the prophet said that this light that came was the vindication that it was God's word that was spoken. Because nothing stands against God's word. When he speaks, it happens. Nothing stands on his way. Because He knows the end from the beginning. He has all powers. He can do all things. Nothing can withstand his power. Nothing can stand in his presence. His word creates. His word brings to existence. And his word takes out of existence. Yes, sir. Amen. And the prophet said that from that beginning, that the word of God has constantly been separated. He separates light from darkness. He separates faith from unbelief. He separates sickness from health. He separates anything because Satan is the one that brings anything that is negative. He brings evil. He brings torture. He brings torment. He brings all kinds of things just to make everywhere distasteful and sorrowful and bitter. That is the revival of Satan. He likes when everywhere is sorrowful, when everywhere is gloomy, when there is problem everywhere, where everywhere is chaotic. That is his revival. But God has an happy kingdom, a healthy kingdom, a peaceful kingdom, a kingdom that is full of light, a kingdom that is full of joy, a kingdom where there is no weakness, no tiredness. When Abraham had a peep of that place, he never wanted to come this way. Because he said there is nothing that could be compared to that place. Nothing on this earth. And Brother Paul, who said he was called to the third heaven, he also concluded by saying that for them who are God's children, he said the things that God has reserved for them that love him, he said, as I've never seen it. Yes, I've never had it. What God is that for them that love him? So we are preparing for a wonderful place. That's why when the people come in inside heat. But Abraham, we said that we are trying to avoid a hotter place. Because there's a hotter place. And where there is no fan. And there's no AC there. But this one we can use fan to cool our heat. If you also have money, we can also put AC. And it will make give us some more comfort. But in that place, there's no AC there. There's no fan, no breeze. Everything stands still. It is constant heat as you have it in the oven. And it is God's own heat. No, the Bible speaks about the elements of this earth that is going to melt with fervent heat. Heat will melt these buildings. It will melt all the cars, all the aeroplanes, all the ships, no matter the price that they are bought or they are constructed. Heat will melt them. The heat will be so much until the Bible says that the oceans will be dry. The heat that will drive ocean, you can imagine it. May the Lord be gracious to us. We know that Jesus is God. We believe that. That's what we believe. When we talk about God, we are talking about Jesus. When we are talking about Jesus, we are talking about God. It is the same being. It is the same person. But before the name Jesus was revealed, he was called God. Abraham said that even the name was called in the beginning, nobody could even pronounce it. J-V-H-U. From that, they carved Jehovah. And Jehovah is what majority calls it in the... And there are some group of denominations today who have used that name Jehovah and they use it as if they are the only one that is now worshiping God truly. They will say that to begin with, what is the name of God? We just laugh at them. All kinds of different people. We also have another group who doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit, who doesn't believe in healing, who doesn't believe in the powers of God, and they are called to accept the Church of Jesus Christ. Far be it that Jesus will have such a church like that. It never resembles any church in the scripture, whether Old or New Testament. May the Lord be our help. But by the grace of God, we know the truth. And the Bible says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So knowing the truth is setting us free. If anybody is in the truth and is not being set free, the person has not surrendered to God. When you surrender yourself to God, you'll be set free. Oh, yes, you'll be set free. Amen. Because Jesus was the one at the age of 12. When he was at the temple, conversing with the sages, the high priests, and the rest of them that have gone to seminary, until almost all the years of their head followed. And they ask questions, he has the answer. If he asks them questions, they don't know anything. And they were, what did this little boy? Where did he learn all this at his learning? And it was there, he held them bound in that place. They were discussing until for 3 days, the foster parents that brought him to that place, they are gone. And they were assuming when they left that he must have followed his friends and he's in the crowd that he said. No, it's not good to presume. Because if you presume, you might waste time. You might just waste your life and waste your time. Look, Brother Abraham said, he told us a story one time of three people. Said they wanted to climb a tall building of about 60 stories and the lift was not working. So they said that and they must go up. And I said, what are we going to do that the journey will not be boring? Say, okay, what we'll do is that three of us, each of us, we try to pick a story, just think of a story, an experience in life, and you start telling us about it. When you finish, the second person will take off. When they are finished, the third person will take off. And they started. And the first person, maybe when by the time they get to the 20th story, he say he has ended. The second person pick up, he go, maybe also 50th or something or more than story, he ended. By the time the third person pick up, he said, the greatest experience I've ever had in my life, he says, now. So the other two are curious. You mean now, in this our together journey here? He said, the key that we are going to enter the office we are going with, he said, I left it on the desk downstairs. In other words, all these 50-something stories we have planned is all in vain. And Brother Abraham said that the denominations, they have forgotten the key. And they are climbing. And they are moving. Far be it that any of us will ever be like that. There is a key to Christianity. And that key is Christ. When you remove Christ outside of Christianity, you have chaos. Then you are back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Without form, without and it's void, and darkness will cover everywhere. And this is the day that the Bible has promised that at this end of time, by according to the prophecy of Isaiah, he said there will be darkness that will cover the land, and gross darkness the people. This is the hour. It's an hour of darkness. Back to Genesis 2, when the earth will be covered with darkness, spiritual darkness, not physical darkness. Because everybody experienced the physical darkness when the night comes. Is it not? So that would have been a prophecy. But the prophecy is spiritual darkness. And even the people themselves, it will be gross darkness on them. Say the scripture. Those people have left the key. And denominations, they have left the key. And they did not know. By the grace of God, in this arcade of God, where we are, we have the key. We have the answer to the devil's question. We have solution to our problem. We have answer to every question. We have solution to every problem. Anything that comes up, there is a way out of it. Satan can never tie us in a corner and say there's nowhere you will pass. Not God's children. We are not just here, ordinary people here on earth. We are special breed, special type of children of God. With the mark of God on us, Satan has to be careful. Amen. I gave you a testimony when I came from Zimbabwe about the two girls that were possessed of some evil spirit, how they used to bump into people and suck their blood. And the pastor asked them a question. Do you do it to everybody? He said, not to everybody. He said, there are some people that they have fire on their head. Demons, when Jesus was here, he recognized. Say, thou art the son of, have you come to torment us before our time? They recognize him. In this our generation, demons also recognize. When they come in the presence of a seed of God, of a saint of God, that have a portion of God inside of him or her, that's a part of the pillar of fire. This hanging on us is hanging in us, and wherever we go, Satan has to know that he has to give way. If he does not give way, he's looking for trouble. Because this is the day of separation of light from darkness. There are those people on earth, and I'm happy to tell you that there are some of them in this tabernacle this morning by the special grace of God. We can say that we are passed from death to life. By the life that is manifested in us, that only God himself can live, and Satan has nothing to do about it, that is settled. Amen. There may be a skeptic, there may be an escort, there may be a spectator, it doesn't matter. But God has representatives here, people that he has worked upon, people that is moving inside, people that is representing him, ambassadors of God, they are presently here. Amen, amen. God separates light from darkness. When Mary came, who has given a testimony before, but she has forgotten that the testimony that she has given was that she conceived by immaculate conception, that an angel met her and spoke to her. And that word, after she believed, became seed in her. And that was what gave birth to this man you have seen, Jesus Christ. But she came under tension after 3 days' stress of physical labor, of assumption or presumption. She came under that stress, seeing Jesus at the temple, thinking that Jesus was troubling them. He has made them to labor and to walk up and down for these 3 days. You are the one that assume. You are the one that presume. And he said, why have you done this? Say, I am your father. Jesus, you are who? He doesn't have an earthly father. Somebody that say, my father is in me. Who is my father? He said, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? And that was not capital shock. The profession of Joseph. If Joseph had been his father, he would have been at the capital shock. But this temple where he is, where he is disputing, where he is correcting error, where he is instructing, where he is giving, where he teaches the people doctrine, that is the place of the father's business. Amen. From that time till now, it has not changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He remains the same. He still corrects errors. He still guides his children. He still shows them the way of right. He still instructs them in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Now the prophet said, whatever God, let me read paragraph 9. Yeah. God never speaks a word unless he has got a reason for speaking that word. It's not like you and I that we just say, especially myself, that speak so many foolish things. Bramo, if you say this one, then what about we? Because nobody will say yeah, that I better pass Brother Bramo. You might tell that to the vets. God speaks every word with a meaning and something that he's trying to achieve and will achieve by his word, and it will perform exactly what he said it will do. Amen. So when he said, let there be light, Brother Branham said in one sermon that when God spoke, he said he went to go and sit down. Say, it might be for 1,000 years. He doesn't have a speck of doubt in his heart. He knew that light has to come. We used to sing an hymn in those days. It's in the hymn. Thou whose almighty word chaos and darkness art, and give his light. They gave way. Chaos and darkness, all kinds of things had that voice, and they gave way. Abraham said, when that war went forth, he said the atoms, the molecules, everything that formed darkness, he said they begin to break. They begin to break. They begin to break. They begin to break until they all disappear and everything becomes light. Why? The creator of heaven and earth has spoken. The one that has every power has spoken. The one that have all spirits under him has spoken. Like the centurion said, say, I'm a man under authority. And I talk to any of my servants, go here they go. Nobody, they don't want them where to turn and say that we'll go later or we'll not obey you. They have to go. Because soldiers, if you, that's why they say obey first and then complete. They can shoot you anytime. General, give order, and then you are trying to do some media. You just say shoot him. And that's all, and there's no case. That's the training. That's what they sign. Obey first and then complete. That is in human life. What about the Almighty God? The eternal feed marshal. When he say anything, stop, it has to stop. You see in this sermon, at the end of it, Abraham gave a testimony of that eternal feed marshal passing through the vessel of Abraham, and nature was interrupted. Different from the normal order, it stopped. You saw it in the book of Joshua. When they were in the battle, and the enemy was still plenty. And he has this commission that no man will stand before you all the days of your life. And this battle that they are facing, he knew that God is on their side. And they must destroy every enemy. And these enemies are still plenty. And this darkness that is about to come now, if it happens, you won't be able to know who is enemy and who is for us. So they will not be able to shoot because they just... And if that happens, Abraham also said that the enemies will go and regather themselves and reinforce against them. Then Joshua know that this battle cannot be paused. It cannot be stopped. It must go forward. Under the inspiration, Joshua spoke and said, "Son, thou that see upon Gibeon, and you moon at the valley of Ajalon." And everything stopped like that. And the Bible said that there was no day like it, that God acting to the voice of a man. He said, because the Lord fought for Israel. Yes, sir. It's because sometimes when I look at these countries that are making noise about Israel, may God give them revelation of time. And you see, anybody from Israel, they are always very bold. Always very bold. Just watch Netanyahu when he goes to speak at UN or whatever. He will face them and talk to them. As if he's talking to small, small children. Talk to them. He just spoke one recently. May the Lord be gracious. Some nations say they will silence and say they will do this one. It doesn't bug them at all. It doesn't bug them. They are not the fact. It doesn't move them. Nothing move them. You want to silence them. Is it because of what they are getting from you? Israel doesn't need any country to survive. They don't need any country to survive. Everything that they have in them is right in their land. A small parcel of land, a small unit group of people that are in that place. Everything. One time he was giving, he said, your microchip, your agriculture or something, your this one, your this one, he said, everything is in Israel. So what did they need you for? What do they need you for? They don't even need you for, weapon or for anything. The Lord fought for Israel. They don't need your weapons. The people that send those people to them, they are only looking for friendship. Do they ask them? Israel never go and beg anybody for anything before. Whether you like it or not, The word of the Lord concerning them will come to pass. Glory to Deus. Now the prophet said, when God says anything, he must back up what he says. And when the word of God has been vindicated, the word being vindicated, that is light. Now the word itself isn't light until it is a vindicated light. The word, if it is not vindicated, is not God's word yet. And it's not God's light yet. The vindication of this word makes it light. Amen. Now the prophet told us, let me just, I want to read some small place because I will have 1 hour more. Yes, I will stop 11:30. I can preach one day for 30 minutes, you will see. If God said, let there be light, and there was no light, then it wasn't the word of God. But when light sprung upon the earth, that showed the word was vindicated, and it was light. Now today, if God has made a promise, and when that promise is vindicated, then that is light. That is the light of the day. When the word is vindicated, the word for the hour is vindicated. Amen. No, God separated the waters, gathered them in one place in the beginning. Because the prophet said God wants to grow vegetation. And vegetation cannot be grown from the waters. Dry land is needed. Then he asked dry land to appear, and it appeared. And he has already buried seed inside the earth that will bring forth every seed. Inside this, you know, of recent now, majority of people and even doctors are going Abba because the Orthodox medicine is not helping much. And majority are going for Abba. Of course, but they will not speak it out in their hospitals because it's against the rules. You may lose your certificate. But when they say they are sick, they go at the corner to go look for some Abba solution. Because they know that this chemical that they are pumping inside your body, it does sometimes more danger than the good it will do. What am I trying to bring out? Though we have vet doctors, but animals in the bush, who treat them? The vet doctors is for the domestic animals. And those domestic animals, in most cases, they are the caged ones. It's not the one that is tongue loose. The one that is tongue loose, he will eat what is needed for the healing. Any sickness they have, there is an insect that guides them to the leaf that they have to eat. And when they eat that leaf, they just recover. Do they complain to you say they are sick? They are moving every day. Why? Everything that is needed on this earth for human beings and for animals and for birds and for whatever to survive is already supplied by God. That is why the economy that any country suffers, not because God has not given enough resources under the soil where every country is, there are resources that is enough for that country to live like paradise. But when you see the other one, no road, no light, no this one, no this one, it becomes demons are the ones ruling. Forget about the size of Bible they carry in their hand. Forget about the something they are counting in their hand. All those ones are deceived. I was speaking somewhere yesterday. I said, Holy Land they claim they be going. When they return from that Holy Land, that's when they become more evil. What are they going to go and do at the Holy Land? Those that go to Jerusalem, those that go to Mecca. They just went to go and contribute to the economy of those places. And they went for tourists. They come back and they are more evil than they went before they took off. May God have mercy upon us. Since they have been saying they send credit people's salary, for God's sake, I've never seen 5,000 naira. And if they say that, okay, maybe the money in my account is beyond what the
What about my wife? I can't have the same thing. They never see 5,000 naira since. So there is something wrong with this thing. Something is wrong somewhere. May God have mercy upon you. When you say they want to share like that, they want to eat money. When they will send to 1,000 people, they will record that they have sent to 20 or 30,000 people. All the money of the other thousands is in their pocket. And those 1,000, they are the registered members of their party. I work in the system, I know how it works. We are just living in a country that is being ruled by demons. You put your mind on that one, for you to suffer all this one, as you go and suffer in here, you will be the most miserable. May the Lord be our help. Now the prophet said, in paragraph 15 and 16, let me just, he said, now if you believe the word of God, it is the word of life to us. But if you question the word of God, it is death to us. For God has spoken, who can deny it? Can anybody deny God's word? Nobody. Nobody. The Bible says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What do you... Abraham said, a little Sunday school girl one day was going to church and he met an infidel. She met an infidel. So the infidel thought he wants to rubbish the girl and maybe just talk her out of what she's believing. When the infidel talked to the girl didn't say anything. She just bent down where she was and just picked out a grass. I said, Mr. Dorsey, can you tell me how this lives? How is this thing alive? She didn't talk more than that. And the man, you know, infidels are fast thinkers. So if I say it grew from the heart, the next question will be that where did the heart come from? He just quiet and went his way. Why? When the Holy Spirit is inside someone, Jesus said, don't even premeditate what you will say. When you come before anybody, say, at that hour, it will be given to you. When it is needed to be spoken, it will be there. God will never allow a children to be rubbished. One time, somebody asked the prophet a question. He said, this serpent that came in the beginning, where is he now? Abraham said, I've never faced this type of a question before. He said, but something spoke to him, said, tell him it is here. So it is here. Before the next thing, the answer to explain it fully is already there. Just follow the Lord. He will tell you what to say. He will guide you what to do. Like we had in the Sunday school, don't use your head. Use your head, it will not work righteously. It will backfire. Amen. For God has spoken, who can deny it? And if we question the word of God, then it becomes death. If we question God's word, it becomes death. Like Eve did in the beginning. That's what caused the death. The serpent that was in that Satan entered into came to meet her as God said. That was the first woman preacher that began to preach. She was not even there when God gave the instructions to Adam. She ought to have said, this question you are asking me, this is what my husband told. Let my husband come back. Then you come back as also time when my husband is around. But she went ahead and started to do it. And the thing has caused all the chaos we have today. The prophet said that is why God said that she should not preach. He said, though I know that there are so many women that claim that
they are called of God, and of course, many of them preach, and the wonder of it is that you will see them even with inspiration. Inspiration. Sometimes I will pass on men even inspiration while preaching, and the place will be shaking. Yet, it is a service that is not according to God's will. The word of God, whether it sounds foolish or whichever way it sounds, is the word of God. And the word of God is the will of God. If you don't do the will of God, you displease him. You can't please him. The only person that can please God is the one that will just stay by the word that he has given and don't shift from it at all. Hold to it as a matter between life and death. Therein lay deliverance. Therein lay salvation. Therein, I was saying on Friday, when about maybe one quarter of us that are here were present. There is no age bracket, neither in the scripture nor in the message of when somebody can be a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost. Brother Abraham rather told us that from the age of 12, that is when someone ought to give his life to Christ before he entered teenage age. Because teenage age go with some teenage spirits. Begin to get those time of life goes with a whole lot of things when young ones think that they have arrived, think that they know everything, know that nobody can tell them anything again, and so on and so forth. So a boy or a girl of 12 years old can be saved and be filled with the Holy Ghost. We have never preached it here, neither can we ever preach it, that the Lord's Supper belongs to adults. Though we have had, it has been like that for many years, but it ought not to be. The preaching has been to everyone to receive the Holy Ghost from the time you repent and you are baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. The prophet said you are to continue on to receive the Holy Ghost. And when you stay stagnant at that spot, you let the devil bring all kinds of things. Sometimes you even get confused. Then along the line, you don't even know whether the message is true. Reasonings will be coming in. Questions you don't have answer to will be coming in. And yet you will not be able to ask anybody. May the Lord be our help. To me, if I am in the church, a member, and I ought to attend to something, and I don't see why. Me, I will approach the pastor, sit down and talk. Say that this Holy Ghost thing, I don't understand it. I don't get it at all. How is it that somebody is free? Then you bring out your life. Say yourself. Bring yourself out. Who are you? Except if you are doing something that you are enjoying, that is contrary to God's word, such a person like that cannot ask for the Holy Ghost. Even when you are praying, you are an hypocrite. Because you know you are not ready for it. The prophet said that God cannot pour his spirit in a dirty vessel. You can't be doing evil things and then think that do evil thing for the 6 days of the week, come on Sunday, I think that God will just pour his spirit really like that one. No. It will not work. You've got to separate yourself. You've got to dedicate yourself. You've got to live a sanctified life. You've got to make a deliberate attempt to run away from evil. Yes. And some may not even do anything practically or whatever like that, but they just like that, just they can't give any reason. They are not forward, they are not backward. They are not really in the world, they are in the church, they are just like that one. As if they are just satisfied that I'm not doing evil and that is all.
But you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You and the one doing evil, you are still the same. If the angel come, all of you will still be left behind. You press forward. Amen. If question one little phrase of God's word, and what did he do? It caused all this trouble that we have. If you have remained behind the word, fortified behind the word, the old armor of God, and not disbelieve it, then it would have never happened the way it has. It would have never been this away. See, but there came death. Amen. Death came. And that is what the trouble we are having today. Sickness. No, the ages from that time have been getting weaker and wiser, weaker and wiser. Somebody of maybe 20 years old, small time, say, I'm tired. 20 years old. I'm tired of what? What have you done? When did you arrive this age that you know about tiredness? That language, tiredness, when we are young, is not part of our language. When I was played, I am tired. So and so this place, I am tired. I don't understand. Brother Bram told Billy Paul, because when did they break? He just be sleeping. Brother Bram said, Billy Paul, stand up! Go and wash your car! Do something, brush your teeth, wash your car. You just sleep like this one. Boy say, a time is coming, you don't have any father that will be able to guide you like this. Look at this, our generation. That's why they go into making quick money, because they cannot be hardworking righteously to work righteousness. Wake up and do something. This soft of it, soft, whatever you will have today, it get as it be. May God have mercy upon us. Today, some we almost send their pants to dry cleaner. They can't wash. Pants. Now dry cleaner, we almost dry clean it. In our own time, where you have to kneel down to be washing clothes on stop or stone and things like that one. Those are the things that build our body when we are small. But we come to find that this generation is completely useless. Many are in the condition they are today because of laziness. Look, some people that are actually agile, when they are even graduate, they still go and learn some work here. Say, in case this one no clinical, this one can do, this one can do, this one can do. But may the Lord be our way. Oh man. The prophet said in paragraph 20, Jesus has constantly told us that there is a separation. And we find that the last thing that is predicted to the human race before the great final day, when we are sent into the presence of God, there will be a final separation. He will separate the sheep from the goats. God will and continually has been separating. Separating, and that is what he is doing tonight. What we are preaching in the morning. He separates faith from unbelief. He speaks out. He declares himself to those who will believe him and have faith in him. Amen. The message is to who we believe. Somebody told Abraham that there is nothing you do. I will not believe. Abraham said, you don't have a problem now. We are talking to people who are believers. We are not talking to people like you. You are an unbeliever. It's your mouth that said it. So, you continue your way. Every road leads to a destination. Not today, when you want to witness to somebody, their feeling is that you want to get somebody to your church. You want to drag them from their church to your own church. Who tell you we are looking for church members? I've gone to Baptist church to preach two times before. I didn't ask their members to follow me. I just told them the message. But the second time, when they see that where this man is leaning, will I say his doctrine is different from our church? That's when they stop inviting me. The first time I went on general ground with fellowship and it was a staff of mine, one of a senior staff to me when I was working in Badafash. Each time they will ask him to come and present something to the church, a teaching, he will bring it to me to help him to develop it. Then finally, one day he come to meet me that the pastor is inviting me because they ask him a question. This thing you are presenting, when have you become like this? They knew that what is presented is beyond the knowledge of their church. So they now, he now told them that we have one of our staff that he used to help me. He said, bring it here and let us see. Then I went there. I was, of course, that's many years ago, in the 90s. So I was there. I preached the Sunday school. Then the pastor praised me and said, a young man like this, car. He was listening to talk to the youth there. Then they called me the second time. Then I started to do small things. Of course, they appreciated me until I was never invited again. That small one is in their record. Our generations that are beginning now, only a handful that you see that is concerned about the things of God. Majority are concerned about how to live a flamboyant life and to make it, how to enjoy. Some that never have now, what they have in their head, that once I have, this is, I will do like this, I will do like this. We will one day come gather the young ones to come and be doing evangelism. And no one of our neighboring churches that does it, they go out maybe once or twice a month, gather a minister who used to follow them, young men. If you know one call, we'll mark you. Come and evangelize. If you have girlfriends in the vicinity, they will see you. They will see you that. So this man, too, they go to church. And God knows how to plant things. I know. May the Lord be our way. The prophet spoke about a Nazarite vow or a Nazarite call. I preached it here about one or two times. The type that Samson had, we find this in Numbers chapter 6. And the prophet said that someone who has a Nazarite call is someone who God has called for a life of separation. He says, such was Samson. While Samson was still in the womb, the prophecy came, an angel visited the mother that said that give her the type of food she must eat and the type of child she is going to born, how that boy is going to be a Nazarite unto the Lord. And when someone is a Nazarite like that, they will not touch any of the hair of their head. They must let it grow out. And Samson had that also, a special call. Because God wanted to use him in a special way, more than others.
to destroy the enemies of Israel. And the father of Samson also pleaded before God that he also wanted to see the angel. That the angel must come when he's around. And God granted his desire. And he was given also the information. So when Samson was born, everything he was told, all that God said about him. And he started growing and growing. The Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. He will just see that the thing that he's doing is more than natural. And we have that record in the scripture that there is nobody on earth that has ever been here before after Samson that has such a power like that. That we use bare hands to bring the two pillars of a building down, the building will collapse. That we look at a lion and put his hand one up and tear it like this. Even the boldness to even do it. If you must face lion, you must be sure of the kind of gun you are carrying in your hand. Otherwise, that's the day of your death. A dragon boat. He used it to kill 1,000 people. Let it even be iron he carry in his hand. Let it even be AK-47. If somebody carry AK-47 and he begin to shoot people, he can't shoot 1,000. He cannot. Before they will use tool and things to hit him on the head and bring him down. By the time let's say maximum, he's able to kill about 50. Before people will rush him and bring him down. But this one of Samson, who have to get to heaven to know the details of what happened. There must be an atmosphere around him. Maybe the stature that they will see before them will be the stature of somebody that is almost tall to heaven. Maybe the people are anointed with great fear that all of them cannot even with their hands is even down, that they cannot even do anything. That they can't even raise it. Because you can never think with your head what will happen that will make a man to be using something like this one to kill 1,000. That is the reason that people that don't believe in the Bible, there are so many stories that they cannot believe. You are not talking of iron. You are not talking of gun. You are not. You are saying that one man used a jawbone to kill 1,000 people. They can tell it to the best. People don't feel that the things that are spoken in the Bible that they are just fine stories to make some people happy. And said God has prepared you before the world began to be a believer, you can never be a believer. Somebody was doing a seminar of unbelief. He put the skeleton of a whale at the bonnet of a car. And he gathered people there and he took his tape rule. He put it at the mouth. He said, see, about 4 inches the man can see. And they are saying that this one is swallow a old woman being Jonah. Then Brother Brown, he happened to be close by. He said, that one was too much for me. He said, Mister, you did not read your Bible well. The Bible said, God prepared a special way. The one that he was to swallow Jonah was prepared by God. This one was specially prepared. God that can create what he needs at every second is the one that prepared this one in the way that he can open his mouth enough and Jonah will enter inside. It was a specially prepared fish. That is what the Bible says. But when an academician reads it with his normal eyes, he will never see anything there. It takes the eye of revelation to read God's word, to understand it, to catch the revelation of it, and to be able to take God as his word. How are you going to explain how somebody will cut a wood and throw it in the river, and then the wood will go down, and then iron will swim up? Is it explainable? There's no explanation. But did it happen? Yes, it happened. At
heart, believing with all my soul. Yes. With all that is in me, I believe it. The ways of God are past finding out. A Nazarite call is a call for separation. And God's children, every one of God's children have that type of a call. As long as Samson was following that instruction to keep his ear like that, no enemy could catch him. No enemy could catch him. But one day, he finally get married to a Delilah. And the Delilah begin to work on him. This Delilah, he has a contract that she was given. And the contract was 1,100 pieces of silver. 1,100 pieces of silver. Each time I think of him, I will think of Jesus Christ. How much was he sold? 30. But this woman got 1,100 pieces of silver to deliver Samson. When Judas got just only 30. How many of Jesus Christ you bring out from this one? For you to know how he was a terror to them. So we'll give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Ah! Began to work on the woman, on the man. Put his head on the lap. Turning to stroke him. Samson. You are just saying you love me. I've not seen the love. It's only mouth. I say, I love you now. I love you. You have not proven the love. Okay, there are things you even had. Somebody that loves his wife. You should tell him all this. I tell him the secret and things like that. Gradually, they move. Instead of Samson to have said for the first time, there is only one area that is no go area. That is the area of that power that God gave to me. You near that area, I'll kill you that day. That is the only thing that will have worked for him. Apart from that one, for you to be doing play, it will backfire. Gradually, he was talking, if you use rope to buy me this and that, then gradually he come to a new rope that he never used before. And gradually, when he leave all this rope, and all the rope was not working, then gradually he entered the head. He said they plate it. You see women, you see men plating here today. Mm-hmm. If they plate it, then he has gotten to the area now. Has gotten to the area. If they plate it, then I'll be a soldier man. If they tie it with web and beginning, they say, that one too did not work. The woman said, you are just mocking me. You are just saying you love me. I don't see any love. Then she started, to no women, he started to weep. No, contract of 1,100 pieces of silver. Money. The love of me is the root of all evil. Finally, by the time he pressed him so, he said, no razor has ever touched my head. Because the first thing is that if you read the story of Samson, Samson wasn't following the instruction of the parents. The parents have been telling him that there are no sisters here. Why are you going this other way? Say, no, talk to me. Because power, they push him. Sometimes if something is pushing you, know that that thing can push you to destruction. Listen to your parents. Don't think you know. You don't know nothing. Listen to your parents. They know past you. Especially when it comes to the things of God. They know more than you. What did you know? You will continue to, and gradually, there are some areas you get to that is very difficult to come back. Samson was going little by little, until he falls into the hand of Delilah. And Delilah has a contract, and she finished the job. Though God still made sure that the purpose that he brought Samson here was not defeated, but Samson as a person was a disgrace. He was a disgrace. He would have continually destroyed. He was a terror. When you hear Samson, everybody hide themselves. He went to his city, Gaza, and entered inside. And went to meet with our Lord. 12 minutes he finished. He was going out to call. He made the gate lock everything. Lord said, in the morning we'll kill him. He can't come out. Because they didn't know who the lock is. Just shake this one, pull it up. Shake this one, put it up. Fold the whole thing, put it on the shoulder, and climb the mountain with it. The prophet asked a question. Do you think anybody will follow you? Not somebody in his right senses. When he went to somewhere and caused commotion and a lot of feel like that, even his own people came and said, "What bind you?" Say, his own brethren, they are the one that come. They say they want to bind you. He say, "You are free to bind me, but you have to make a promise that you will not follow me yourself. They swear will not follow you, but just bind you." Oh yeah. He surrendered the band. When the enemy came, and like this one. As long as somebody is abiding in the word of God, in the instruction of God's word, there is no enemy. There is no enemy. And there are no powers that can ever overcome the person. You will fall to the trap of the enemy when you go to his camp. As we finish on friendship, Brabham told us that there are devil's grants. It is when you go to his grants, it cannot come and overcome you in God's grant. But when you go to his grant, then you are a prey in his hand. And it will finish you. For Satan is looking for anybody in the fold of God's word to slip out so that I can handle the person. Because this message is preparing some armies. Satan never see anything now. Because we are looking at prophecy. A time is coming. The brother said that the little thing you saw in my ministry, when the squeeze come, you will see them in their full manifestation. How it will happen, I don't know. But we will see them in full manifestation. The power of God will be displayed. When the power is to be displayed, it's against the enemy. And I want to tell you, church, we are looking at how the pendulum of politics is swinging. I will never jump to conclusion, but one thing I know is that if you go like this might be the next thing. The other time that Trump and what's the name of that woman? Clinton. Hillary Clinton, when they contested, people already prophesied Hillary will win. False prophets. We don't need to get ahead of God. Abraham did not ask God for prophecy. He didn't ask God for vision. God gave to him out of God's own volition to show him what is to come to pass. So we that are at the time of the manifestation, you wait and see as it's manifested. But when this one happens, we can say, tell you that this day, this prophecy is fulfilled. But don't go and be fulfilling it yourself. It will not happen like that. When Trump entered, false prophet, they begin to find another way to explain this and that. Instead of you to agree that you are a false prophet, you are parabolated. Now, Biden has shifted for Kamala Harris. Now, when she was there the other time, a lot of whatever we are watching. To me, if she come on board, this might be the last. If she does not come on board, maybe we still have a little time. Maybe we still have a little time. But if she come on board, that might be the end. Because if you look at her profile, you find out that she's not the kind of person that, no, she's for every evil. From her youth, she's been a defiant somebody like that that is bold to evil or whatever. It's just the laugh. Forget about the teeth you see outside. The soul inside is what we are talking about. Just meet Biden as he stagger up and say, you, Biden, you can't continue. You cannot buy these things together. Yes. You can't bind anything here the way you are doing so. We talk one thing here and he wants to go out, he doesn't know which one is the road. You get to Rome. That's what Trump used to. You use that one to mock him. And if it was obvious, so they went to meet the man that, you know what? You want to finish yourself and our party. Have a step down, step down. So he stepped down. Kamala Harris is on course. There is coming a time when even prayers will be difficult to pray. There is coming a time that we may not even have this privilege. You know, recently they have it, was it in Guinea-Bissau whatsoever? That is something they have promulgated in the year 2000 in the U.S. They just kept that one quiet because there was a time. They want to streamline preachers. They want to streamline churches and the rest of it. They just enforced it recently in Guinea. If this woman ever enter, they may make it a full-blown something. And we just see the couple of prophecies that remain, everything come. And that will be all. And the rapture is not going to take anyone without the Holy Spirit. It is not when those prophecies are coming to pass, you now come and be knocking your head on the altar. It might be too late. I don't know why you have been here for year in, year out, that you have not been able to. And the main thing is that many are not concerned. Some are concerned, but many are not concerned. I can't be in a church. Look, even while I was in denomination, I went to meet the prophet of that church that I want to receive the Holy Spirit. The person we know as the prophet of the church. I went to meet him in his house. I said, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. Because then I knew that coming to church without the Holy Spirit is like you are a second-class citizen. How will God give some people the Holy Ghost and me I will not get? Even the people we thought have the Holy Spirit, there many of them show a lot of carnality. But then, in some level, we believe that people that have the Holy Spirit will speak in tongues. And things like that, which later was not to be. You should be concerned. There must be some serious concern. Not just think each time we preach like this, greet after the service, everybody shake off, and that is all. Until we meet next Sunday or until Wednesday. Then you come a little soberness, then until you come the next. It's dangerous. May the Lord be our wife. The prophet said that our sisters, the word of God requested them to keep their hair long because it's a Nazarite unto God. And Brother Abraham said that I know that they stand reproach because majority of the women of the world, they cut off their hair. Brother Abraham said that Jacqueline Kennedy, that's the wife of former President Kennedy in U.S., she set the pace of low haircut, paint, a style of dress. Everybody is watching her. And that is what is setting the pace for women. And the prophet was acting again. Brother Abraham said that if Jacqueline Kennedy has had this message, she may not have lived that way. So some of the people that we are copying, if they have had this message, they will have been sober. They will have feared God. They will have served Him. But most of the worldliness we manifest is a copycat from the world. We are copying somebody. And these people, you don't know which type of spirit is living in them. Which definitely is not God's spirit. When I'm original, you make photocopy from the original. If anybody wants to copy at all, you should copy me. Not I copy anybody. I am 100% satisfied the way God created me. I am 100% satisfied with God's word. I am 100% satisfied that what God requires in His word is what I am living by. I am satisfied with that one. I don't want anything from anybody. Let it be a professor, a meritor. I have nothing to copy from anybody. Somebody we were discussing the other day and say has done a lot to train this, to be able to train this in beer. Say it will be painful for him to watch it go. Say has really as year for years as we worked on it. Can you now see what I was saying? He's groomed. He's trained, he's designed to be able to present a posture to please somebody of one to please himself. But what we are asked to please is to please Christ. We are to please Christ, not to please somebody. A lot of things that women do to cause boys to be after them. But when we begin to see also boys wanting to attract guests now, it's something that we need to call for a caution. The judge is quiet now. I just come quiet today. A peaceful whatever, because I don't want to preach much today. I'll be closing in a few minutes. May the Lord be our help. Sisters, may God bless you. You that let your hair grow out, may the Lord bless you. You that wash off your paint, may God bless you. You that remove the eye issues, may God bless you. You that lengthen your dresses, may the Lord bless you. You that have not been exposing your body for others to see, may the Lord bless you. The prophet said we should not take our beauty out of Hollywood. Say, be pretty, but be natural. Even if they do makeup for a dead person, is not attracted to anybody. No matter how pretty, it's not attractive. He's dead. Brothers, may God bless you. As you lower your head and make it according to God, may the Lord bless you. And as you want to present yourself nice to God's satisfaction, may the Lord bless you. And those that maybe still want to enjoy some whatever, may the Lord help you. It will be well. Yeah, it will be well. We are on course. I know for sure that the Lord has been gracious unto us in this little place. We have not shown to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We've tried every means to tell you everything that we know to be the message. And God is a witness. Maybe some other time, I will finish this sermon. Let me just read one quote here. Then we'll finish. Then we'll stop. I believe tonight that every man and woman, every boy and girl that is born of the Spirit of God is a Nazarite unto the Lord. Because they have separated themselves from the cares of the world and whatever the world has got to say. The believers, they don't want to know what anybody has to say. They are only caring about what God has to say. Just what God has to say. One time, Brother Abraham said, he was saying that it's already 50 years and he hasn't done anything for the Lord. And he said he doesn't want to meet the Lord in the way that God will not be pleased with him. Then God told him that you are just starting. Press on. The reward is at the end. You that is living for God, press on. The reward is at the end. And if you are here and you still love the world and the things of the world, may the Lord cause you to stop and think on your ways. Especially our young ones, when you are ought to be strong for the Lord, when you ought to be assets in the house of God, and you want to be assets to the world, may the Lord give you a turnaround. I want to remind you once again that we, I'm descending to 60. I came to the message at 19. Even while I was in the denomination, my heart, I just told you of something that happened while I was there. We passed through your own age. So sometimes when you look at us, you will assume as if we jump your age. Maybe you just jump from 10 and then from to 30. And then we are now adult. We pass through every year, every month. One time we were 14, then 15, then 16, then 17, then 18, then 19. So what we are talking about, we take cognizance of what you face. We take cognizance of what will be an influence on you left and right. We passed through it. So we didn't jump to become adults suddenly. If we tell you that this thing is wrong, I tell you it is wrong. We can tell you what it will lead to. Because we have passed through your own stages. The Lord bless you. In 197. bow our heads and our eyes are closed, and we bow our heart before God. Is there anyone that has been yearning for the Holy Spirit, thirsting and hasn't received such, and want the mercy of God? You lift up your hand to God and say, God, remember me at this time. Those who are seeking for the Holy Ghost. Right.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that we have spoken in a few minutes. God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. The hands of your sons and daughters that are up, you are making a request that they desire to be filled with your spirit. You don't call church members, you call sons and daughters. Dear Lord, I commit them into your hand. If there be anything in their heart that is contrary to this word, I pray you separate them from it. Every doubt, every unbelief, every darkness, every nature of the world, may you take it out of them. May your Holy Spirit be sent with fire to burn out everything contrary to your word out of their heart. May they come to total surrender unto you and to every word of God. May they make that solemn pledge that they want to live for you all the days of their life. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Your prophet have told us that when we get to that spot where we feel we cannot continue without you, say that is when you come on the scene. Bring them to that junction, dear Father. Knowing that events are transpiring rapidly, and we do not know how much time that we have, we pray that you not leave these people out. Walk upon every one of us. Those who you have filled, may you refill us again. Draw us closer unto you. If there be anyone here that is yet a sinner, and they have never made any confession of you, I pray you be merciful unto them. Knowing that sitting in the same congregation, everything that is preached and spoken will be requested of them also at that day. Be merciful unto your people. Have your way, Lord. It's our desire that when that day shall come, none of us will be cast away. Thank you, eternal Father. Be with us this afternoon as we have a recess. Bless our food. May give us strength for this physical body. And we ask that to help us in the preparation for the convention. Bring us back again by 2 o'clock for more of your blessings. Thank you, dear Father. And those that are sick in the audience, may your healing power touch their body. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Hymn number 166, as we dismiss. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. By 12 o'clock, the convention may take place.